Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Catola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being with us tonight. Our guest is Dee Barnes, and she is the founder and director of His Wonderful Works, which is a ministry to Christians seeking understanding, teaching, and counsel concerning family, relationships, and sexuality. And Dee's testimony and teaching have encouraged many congregations in the truth of God's transforming power. Her transparency has helped set free many, and especially to break the bonds of shame. And Dee, we talked about the fact, if you're just joining us, Dee and I were talking about the fact that there was abuse in her life. It wasn't violence. It wasn't a stranger. It wasn't something that you would maybe even consider to have been traumatic. And Dee, you said you didn't really, in the immediate aftermath, feel traumatized, and yet it drove a lot of behaviors from the age of 14 going forward. So pick up the story with what happened as the promiscuity unfolded.
Okay, so as the promiscuity unfolded and the pornography entered in, and then you have an addiction to pornography as you just begin to open yourself up to that. So as I went through, and all the while I had this good girl image that I was portraying to everyone else, because I had learned that, you know, a good girl doesn't get judged and criticized, so I'm going to be this good girl on the outside, when underneath I had all these other actions going on. So I spent much energy trying to be the good girl, and all through high school I, you know, tried to keep that image, but promiscuity began to get worse and worse, and I went off to college, and it really was, you know, there were no boundaries there, so I really entered into much more promiscuity in college. And so when I was 19, I found myself pregnant and with a choice to make. And at that point, you know, I had known the Lord, but I wasn't convicted that, you know, this was going to be sin if I didn't have this baby. But I had a friend who told me that this was wrong, and so I decided, okay, I'm not going to have an abortion. I'll go home and tell my parents. But that was a whole other story when I went to tell my parents, and they were like, no way, you know, you're not going to have this baby. And I didn't even argue with that. I just went right into, okay, you know, I won't have it. And so I went through that process as well, having an abortion without feeling. I had shut down my emotions way earlier, and with the abuse, I didn't feel. And with the abortion, I didn't feel. You just survive, right? You just go on with life, never dealing with it. So at that point, you know, I had an abortion, went through the healing of it, and never addressed it again. And then continued on, like you said, with promiscuity again. It's like crazy. You think, okay, you would stop after that. There was no change, no transformation happening in you, and you just continued to search for what you thought needed to be filled in relationships. And that obviously wasn't working either, but that I did have the abortion there and move forward. So,
you know, and it's interesting. I want to stop right there, too, and just underline what you said, because so many of us did not receive the abortion as any kind of a wake-up call.
Right.
And, you know, I've got to say that in my case, the people who sold it to me absolutely put it forth with, you know, this will be as if the pregnancy never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could do that, you know, if we really could accomplish that in life, we could somehow, you know, turn back the hands of time, you know, well then, okay, if it never happened, then there's no need for me to change. There's no need for me to do anything different. If this was, you know, more morally neutral activity to go ahead and make this choice. And I think that, boy, that puts us in such a double bind afterwards, as our hearts are condemning us and as our conscience kicks in and we, you know, come to reflect on what has happened. We've got to get that new mind that Romans 8 talks about. So, all right, now we've got that experience added into the mix, having an abortion at 19, and what happened next?
Well, I want to speak to that, you know, what you were just saying about that abortion and not realizing what's going to happen afterwards and it doesn't just go away. You know, there's such a deception and a lie that the enemy of God's creation, of course, perpetrates for us, or else abortions wouldn't happen. If we knew the truth, nobody would be having an abortion. Nobody's telling the truth about the trauma that you're going to have to carry later for murdering God's creation and not putting that label on it. And it's the only way that the enemy could destroy that many lives and get away with it without, you know, people knowing the truth. And there's such a probably more shame with abortion than anything I've ever experienced. I mean, in my story, I talk about all these things that have happened and I've done. There was never the amount of shame with any of the other things that happened to me as much as there is with abortion. And I don't know if that's true for everyone, but it was certainly true for me. I could tell you all day long about the sexual abuse that happened later and about my homosexuality after that, but the abortion I would not mention. And that's how you know the level of shame is so great, because that's the thing you can't mention. And I was in ministry for several years before I ever even mentioned that I had an abortion to any of the people that I was walking in healing ministry with. That's how much shame was there, and I'd never realized how great the shame was. And I think it speaks to the depth of the trauma within a woman when she has an abortion, the amount of shame that is carried there. And God wanted us to be free from that. But
I'm glad that you underscored that, too, because, you know, for you to sit as a listener and receive Dee's sharing about something so deep that she was violated at a tender age, at 14. You know, I'm sure, Dee, the first time that you ever talked about that to someone, there were tears. There was much reluctance. It was a tender, time-consuming conversation. And yet you can talk about it without emotion today. That doesn't mean that there's, you know, that it's something that doesn't affect you and impact you. But this is what healing looks like. And it's the same for me, you know, with that abortion. And you're right, the shame was so deep. I didn't share that important fact about my life with my father until I was 48 years old.
Wow.
You know, and had already received a measure of healing. If you are feeling trapped in that shame tonight, as you listen to our conversation, I don't want you to hear us speaking about it as something that isn't emotionally tender to us still. But what I want you to hear is a conversation involving people who are healed and able to talk about it in sober terms. So I thank you for sharing that, Dee, and for pointing out that the shame is, I think, universal. You know, the people who promote abortion to women say that, well, that, you know, it's because people are stigmatizing what's a common medical procedure, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know anything about stigma or politics or anything else.
Yeah.
I was 23 and clueless.
Yeah, and that's true. I was 19, and it had nothing to do with the stigma. And even 10 years, 15, 20 years later, it had nothing to do with the stigma. It had to do with the shame that keeps you unable. Yeah, it has nothing to do with what people are going to say, because people, they're like, you know, 80% of the people saying abortion's okay, so I should be in a good camp, you know, to say that it's okay. But in reality, it is definitely. And, you know, Satan does do that to us. He comes and just tries to destroy our life, and then with a great picture on the top, because you never get to see the pain and the trauma you'll go through afterwards for your choices. I mean, it was my wrong choices that entered into sex outside of marriage covenant. You know, it's my wrong choices that allowed me to be in that space, and I'm responsible for those choices. But God's healing is so, and His mercy is so wonderful to restore that and to bear our shame. You know, in Isaiah where it says He bore our sin on the cross, but He bore our shame and our sorrows on the cross. That's amazing. You know, we're often here. We always know to give Him our sin, but we don't think about the shame and the sorrow that He bore. That's how we get free, and the healing is amazing when we wake up to that. Wow, you mean I can give Jesus the shame and sorrow, and He comes in and also gives me that healing. It's so wonderful.
Amen. He was made to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God.
So, it's a beautiful picture. So.
So, Dee, you know, and I do want to ask you and give you this opportunity. And, you know, I'm all about honoring our parents, and I can't tell you how wonderful my father was when I finally did share the truth with him. I wished I had done it much sooner, but I know that's not true in every household. I know that's not the parental reaction that many of us have gotten. But, you know, it sounds as though there was very little social support for you to make any other choice.
Oh, that's definitely true. You know, I was not going to argue against my parents when they told me, no, you're not going to have this baby. I just went along with it. But we never spoke of it again. It was never spoken of again after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just went on with my life and, you know, continued to be sexually promiscuous. And then at age 21, I found myself in a relationship with a woman who was married, and an emotional relationship that was very emotionally dependent that turned into a physical sexual relationship. And I was so shocked. I never thought that I would be in a homosexual relationship. Even though when I look back at my life, I can see where those tendencies were there. I never would have thought that about, you know, my life. And that was just a huge, I mean, you see the patterns of just sexual brokenness happening in my life, and it just gets, the snowball gets larger and larger the more I was opening myself up to it. So I find myself in this relationship with a woman who's married, who has two children, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was 21, and this woman was a good bit older than me. And, you know, same-sex attraction has much of its roots in need for nurture, affirmation, and validation from the same-sex parent, which is why you have the same-sex attraction. You're looking to meet that need, and it was very much what I was looking for in seeing her as a mom, and just amazing that that would even happen, crazy that I would fall into this relationship. And once you're into that emotional enmeshment, it's like an addiction. You cannot escape it. I tried to quit. I was like, okay, I can't do this. This is wrong. Something in me at least knew that much of it was wrong, right, that she was married, and I didn't know what I was doing at 21. But I could not stop once I had opened myself up to that.
So what happened? I mean, we heard in the beginning of the interview that you have a family and you're a mom of three, and so something changed.
So
what happened?
You listen to that story and you think, oh, my goodness, I don't deserve a family. I don't deserve any children because I murdered my own child. I don't deserve a marriage because I destroyed a marriage by being involved with a woman who is married. And, of course, it takes two people to do that, but still I was a part of this situation where the marriage did end in divorce, which is very, very grievous, and that I would be a part of that. And, you know, I remember saying, don't get divorced because I don't know what I'm doing. But by that time, it's too late. You can't love two. You can't have two masters. You can't love one without the other. She couldn't love me and love her husband. Of course, she was going to say she didn't love her husband anymore because she was having an affair with me, right? And there's no way to breaks that except for Jesus coming into it, and we that wasn't happening. So the marriage ended in divorce, and we still saw each other for a year or two after that, and then that relationship ended. And at that point, I was in the closet covering up all my homosexual activity, and when that relationship ended, I decided I must be gay, so I was going to find out more about it. At that point, I began to go to gay bars and see hundreds of people that felt like me, and I was so shocked. I never knew there were that many women who felt the same as me who were gay, and I remember thinking, going into the gay bar, thinking, this is wonderful. I can't believe there's so many people that feel like I do. So I was so happy, you know, that I had found people, and I decided that this was right. You know, it felt so right within me. You know, the Spirit of God in us, all of our consciousness convicts us at the beginning to say, okay, this isn't right. But you ignore that voice long enough and you begin to not have any conviction anymore. And I just thought that this was so right. I had been in relationships with men and nothing felt as right as having a relationship with another woman. It filled every void that I thought that it filled, every void that was inside me. And therefore, it feels so right. And, you know, in homosexuality and same-sex attraction, the feelings aren't really a choice. When people say, you know, is homosexuality a choice? The acting out and what we do with our life is a choice. But the feelings are so very real and so genuinely needs that we needed. I needed affirmation. I needed validation as a young girl. I needed emotional affection. But I had missed that as I was growing up, and that is the legitimate need. So the needs of someone with same-sex attraction mm-hmm. are very real, and until those things get healed, you feel like you're just born that way. Or is
well, different. Sure. And it was a process, and it was something that Dee entered into and eventually began leading others. And so we're going to talk about that. It's going to take a little more time than we have before this break, though, so we're going to take just a couple of minutes to regroup, and then we'll be back with more with our guest tonight, Dee Barnes. Our phones are open. We'd love to have you join us. And, of course, the ground rules are you do not have to give your name. You can call anonymously, and we always respect your privacy. Our phones are open, though, for you at 800-811-3003 tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Dee Barnes is our guest tonight. Thank you for joining us. Dee is the leader and founder, director and founder of His Wonderful Works, a ministry to Christians seeking understanding concerning family, relationships, and sexuality. And Dee's testimony includes time spent in a homosexual lifestyle, identifying as gay. That was, I think you said, 5 years of your life, Dee.
Yes, it sure was.
So, how did things change?
Well, as we just left off, I think a few moments ago, I was just frequenting gay bars and just so happy that I'd found people who feel like me, and so I decided that I would embrace the lifestyle. But and then it just becomes, you know, there's a difference between having same-sex attraction and wandering and navigating through your feelings and then embracing the gay identity. At some point, you eventually will embrace that identity, and that's when I embraced the identity, when I realized there was such a community there that felt the same way as me. And in embracing that identity, my appearance began to change. I began to dress more masculine. Much about me began to change in embracing that identity. And so I just decided, okay, I'm going to be gay, and all this good girl image is going to be gone, and I'm just going to tell everybody that I'm gay, and they'll just have to deal with it. So I spent some time planning to do that, and before I could do that, I met a girl who had known the Lord, and she had been in the homosexual lifestyle for, I met a lot of people who said they were Christian, but not really had a solid walk with Jesus, not ever been born again. And I met a girl who had been in the lifestyle for 15 years when I met her, and yet she was so convicted about homosexuality. And so she began to tell me, you know, homosexuality is against what God says for us, right? And I would just go, what? What do you mean? I was like, no. And she said, it says so in Romans 1. And I was like, no. And so I look in, you know, I've been in and out of church, and I looked in, and I was like, man, it does say that. I've never read Romans 1. And I didn't question whether the Scripture, I believed the authority of the Scripture. I didn't question whether it said it or not. If I read it, that's what it meant to me. So as soon as I opened my heart up to the Scriptures, slight conviction began to come. You know, and it's like that. When we open our heart to the Scripture and say, God, what are you saying? Then the conviction comes. If we read it according to what we want it to say, that might be different. That's when the first conviction began to come, when she would tell me that. And then I would see her again, and she would say, you know why we're created? And I was like, no. And she would say, to worship God and to fellowship with God. And I thought, she was the craziest person I've ever seen, but I really liked her, and she was gay, and so I just kept pursuing her. But she would keep telling me about the Lord, and the more she did, we'd visit churches together. And you know, that's why it's so important for the church to allow people, embrace people coming in struggling with same-sex attraction. Because here I was sitting right on the pew next to whoever might have known I was gay, probably by looking at me. But God was doing the work. He was drawing me into His truth. And I just began to be more and more convicted as I read the Word, and I decided I'd start going to churches and seeing what, you know, church was about, not just because my family was Presbyterian. I wasn't going to be Presbyterian. I'd just go visit all kinds of churches. So I just began to visit churches, and the more I did, I would go to gay bars and visit churches, go to gay bars. But the more I opened my heart to the Lord, the more my eyes began to be open to the dysfunction of same-sex attraction relationships, the very emotionally dependent, sometimes manipulative, controlling. You would be a group of girls, and they'd all been with each other, yet they were all friends. There were no boundaries. I began to be able to see it, and instead of before being immersed in it, without the Lord helping me to see, I couldn't see that it was not healthy for me.
Dee Barnes is our guest, and our phones are open, 800-811-3003. Please join us if you have a question or comment. And you can call us anonymously. You don't have to share your name. We do understand the sensitivity around the issues that we're discussing tonight. 800-811-3003. Dee, as we're talking, and as you know, you mentioned Romans 1,
mm-hmm.
and there's the church. is divided as the societal rules are changing, with more states enacting, you know, legislation to allow gay marriage. It's becoming much more accepted, you know, in the millennial generation, for sure. There's, you know, some people say there's not even any controversy anymore. It's settled science that it's not a choice. It's genetic, etc. And there are those who have also attacked the scriptures and who have refuted what the scriptures say in Romans 1 and in the other passages that to others of us are clear that it's prohibited. What do you say to the detractors who object to the use of scripture?
Well, that say that that's not what God said in the scripture. Is that what you mean?
Right. There
say it doesn't nail homosexuality sin.
Some even go that far. But, I mean, I've heard people say, well, gee, the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't homosexual behavior. It was a rape. It was inhospitality,
right,
et cetera.
You know, we could argue all day long about the scriptures in debate with people, because if the argument could have been resolved, we would have already not, we would stop arguing back and forth or debating back and forth as to what we thought it believed, right? So I really steer away from debating. I mean, if people want to know what I think, I will say what my interpretation is. But that debate over the scripture and what it says is so unresolved back and forth, because the Spirit of the Lord reveals to us what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says, if any man's will is to do the will of the Father, he'll know what the doctrine is. And by that I mean, if my will is to surrender my whole life, regardless of whether God tells me to change or not, if I'm willing to surrender, if he tells me that it's wrong and I'm willing to surrender that much, I'll know if it's true. But if I'm going to surrender and then I'm going to leave this little piece out, that, but if you tell me homosexuality is wrong, I'm not going to listen. That's not full surrender. Right? Full surrender is, Lord, I'm surrendering completely to you and your scripture, regardless of what you show me, I'm willing to walk in that. Then we start to see the truth. But as long as we're going to try to see it the way we want it to be seen, it's not going to, it's going to be pointless to argue. So I really don't get into, yes, it says this, no, it doesn't. I believe it says it. And, you know, I know hundreds upon hundreds of people whose lives have been transformed from issues of sexuality because we embrace that truth and say it. So, you know, I don't spend a lot of time arguing back and forth about, you know, what it says. I just basically say,
sure,
once I was blind and now I see. Once I was homosexual and now I'm not, because Jesus transformed my life. Now, you don't have to believe that, but there are plenty of people who are not comfortable with their homosexuality and embracing it, don't feel, they would love to be transformed if they could. And for those ones are the ones I say, come to the Lord and I'll show you, you know, where he's transformed. And, you know, quite frankly, the church that denies that is denying the freedom. If I were sitting in a church where people preached to me it was okay to be homosexual, I would have missed all of the freedom God's given me. I would have missed this husband and this family and this beautiful picture of family that God created and allowed for me to have, because I would have believed that lie that I could never change. And that's frightening. That,
well, and I think, you know, and it's so similar. It really has unfolded along a similar path for me with the question of abortion, because it seemed good and right. And then, you know, my heart was really troubled. I searched out the scriptures, and God's word, the revealed truth in his word, changed my heart, changed my mind first, and then my emotions followed and healed my heart of all of the confusion. And as you say, Dee, had I not been able to grasp but from the truth of Scripture that, yes, indeed, it was wrong and it was sinful, I would still, I believe, be mired in the emotional stew of, why can't I get over this? Because it wasn't wrong, but my heart is still troubled. And so we really don't do people a favor by trying to appease or minimize or deny the truth of Scripture, which is the most important thing there. It isn't our opinion. It's what does God's Word say?
Right, and I think the church has lost in its ability to stand in the truth with love and compassion because of all the hurtful things the church has said in the past about people who are homosexual. It seems the church is on one end or the other. They're holding up the law and saying, you're sinning, you're going to hell, or God loves everybody and let's all just not identify this issue, right? Let's all say it's okay. Somewhere in the middle is the balance of the truth. There's love and compassion, yet not wavering on the truth that God does say sexual activity outside of the covenant of marriage is sin. There's no question that that's true. But when we don't stand on that, and the church itself has lost its way in not holding the standard of sexuality up in plenty of ways, in heterosexuality and addiction to pornography, and and not even speaking about abortion, for instance. There's much of, I guess, our own sin in the church by not having held up that standard. I think because we haven't held it up, we've seen a shift in many ways. There's such a blurred line on sexuality all across the board. And we need to get back to that. But in that, a love and compassion for the one struggling with same-sex attraction, for sure. If we understood much of what was behind it, understanding those feelings are very real. Someone with same-sex attraction cannot make those feelings go away, cannot change. Only Jesus can change them and help them be restored. And you have to understand what's behind it to realize. But if you believe the lie that I believe, it's a lie that says we're born that way, that God created us that way, there's no way to search for the underlying issues if you just believe you're created that way. So it's a very big distraction for people needing to be healed.
Dee Barnes, our guest, and would love to hear your reaction, and we will continue the conversation. So phones are open. You may join us at 800-811-3003 with your question or comment. 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being with us tonight. Our guest is Dee Barnes, and she's the founder and director of His Wonderful Works, which ministers to families and folks in the areas of family, relationships, and sexuality. And Dee, since you have come out of the homosexual lifestyle, you began ministering to others. And I know that you have a conference coming up. I know that you have several events that are staged as an outreach to help people find the freedom that you have found. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about that. But talk about your path into ministry and what that transition and transformation was like.
I sure will. You know, after the conviction became so great of the homosexuality, and I began to see and began to be rejected from one relationship to the next, and finally came to a place where I wanted out. And I remember just getting on my knees and saying, Lord, whatever it takes, get me out. And I really didn't know how to pray. I wasn't really born again. I hadn't been to a lot of church, and I just prayed what I needed to pray. And the next morning, I found myself visiting a church that I had never been to, and they had a time of an altar call, which I wasn't used to in my church. But for the first time in my life, I was 26, I repented. And, you know, the scripture says, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not just get saved. There's a repentance involved. Jesus kept saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And he's not really beating us over the head with the scripture saying, repent, or you're going to hell. It was I believe it was an invitation. Repent, part of the root word for repent means to change the way you think. You know, change the way you think. There's a whole kingdom I have for you, and the way you're living is not my best for you and not my plan. And so at that point, I did just cry out to God and prayed a prayer of repentance for the first time ever anybody told me to repent. I'd never heard that before in the church. And the full gospel of the kingdom, to surrender everything I had, no matter what God led me to, I'm just surrendering all that I have to the Lordship of Jesus. And in that came a huge beginning of transformation in my life. I was born again. The Spirit of God came within me and began to transform me and began to change the way that I thought about things and saw them. And, you know, when our spirit man's born again, our flesh still carries a lot of its brokenness from the sexual abuse and the abortion, and all these things don't just go away. And most of the time, same-sex attraction is not just completely delivered at that point. So, but I began to walk after the Lord, and he just began to help me. And at some point, I realized I needed counseling because I wasn't quite sure how to have right relationships with women anymore. And it didn't mean, oh, I'm all of a sudden heterosexual. I just was following God. And that's, I think, where we get distracted in this issue of healing for homosexuality. It's about following Jesus and surrendering all to him, and then he begins to transform us from all kinds of healing. So that's what began my journey of healing, and I began to seek out some counseling specifically for the issues of my sexuality and seeking out healing, discipleship programs where I could find healing in these issues. And as I did, God just began to bring more and more healing to me.
There are many ministries that carry, you know, testimonies very similar to yours, some even more dramatic. And a lot of those ministries have moved away from the message that change is possible. Mm-hmm. I want to give you a chance to answer that. Dee, because you're telling us that you absolutely changed as a result of these ministries, and yet we've seen a few of them close in the last year or two here.
Yeah. Change is very, very possible because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still changing lives when we surrender to him. And what I think has happened in the ministries that have lost their focus is because all of a sudden it became a focus of, I want to go from gay to straight. I'm coming here because I want to be transformed from gay to straight, and that's not about that. It's about coming to Jesus, coming to the Father. Jesus came to restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and out of that, we become healed. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are added to you. The focus needs to be seeking Jesus for him, regardless of whether he ever changed me, right? But he will change me because that is his, he is a changer and a transformer of lives. So I think in the ministries have lost their focus in, well, it didn't work. I came here to be straight, now I'm not straight. Well, I think it was the wrong motive. And I think that's where we've lost that, and we've seen ministries fall because of that. I think there's a lot to do with it. Now, you know, that's my opinion. But I do know, regardless of whether I can explain that or not, that Jesus is transforming lives all over the place. And for us not to be able to say that to people who want to hear it and want to go that path is a disservice, you know, in the kingdom.
Sure. I just want to mention, too, we did have a caller who didn't want to come on the air with us, and that's fine, but wanted to say to thank you, Dee, for showing the true character of God with this tough topic. And I agree, and I really second that. So thank you for that phone call. Phones are still open, 800-811-3003. We've got, we're in the home stretch here, about 7-8 minutes to go on the broadcast. So, Dee, tell us about what you're doing right now. You're still helping people change. You're still helping people, you know, make this transformation in life. Tell me more about your current ministry activities.
Well, the vision of His Wonderful Works is really to help educate the church, give testimony that the church will understand, wow, healing really is possible, because most people don't know one person that's been transformed, you know, much less, you know, many. And the truth is that we really are, the voice is much louder on the other side saying, oh, nobody can change. So our passion is to go into the church and let Christians know what is behind same-sex attraction, why is this happening, but also to stir the church to get healing for the past abortion, for the past sexual abuse, so that they can be whole in the way that God gives us life-giving in His Spirit. And so, you know, our passion is for the church in whatever way we can help. And sometimes that's providing resources for the church, opening the door to the issue of sexuality when it's a very hard topic to talk about in the church. So, and bringing that with love and compassion for the one struggling with those issues, but also in not wavering on the truth that God does set us free. So we go from wherever the door opens the door. You know, in July we're going to be in Crestview, Florida at Joy Fellowship speaking. In September 12th we'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina at a Transforming Grace conference. And this conference is specifically for those struggling with homosexuality and those who want to know more and minister in that way. In October we'll be in Chicago at Refuge New Life Community Church. So just wherever the Lord's opened the door to for us to speak this truth for people to get help in all kinds of ways. And the reason, you know, I'd like to talk about sexuality across the board is because all of these same issues are prevalent for many people, not just those struggling with homosexuality. Homosexuality is just a different fruit of a lot of the brokenness that we have. And so quite our biggest event is really we're planning for spring of 2015 in Atlanta. It's called the Amazing Love Event, and it's one of its kind. I don't know where this has happened any other time, but we're going to gather more than 100 testimonies from across the country to come and give live testimony. And this event will be at a neutral venue in the city of Atlanta where we will do nothing but worship and praise and give testimony of God's transforming power out of issues of sexuality. So those will be same-sex attraction, homosexuality, transgender, and other issues of sexual identity, for the church to come together and hear God's truth in live testimony. And like I'd mentioned earlier, most people don't know one person, but hundreds coming in to see that there are hundreds and hundreds of people whose lives are transformed. We just don't hear it in the church. And so this is going to be an event that, you don't want to miss. It's going to be broadcast across the world, and there are, you know, tons of ways to get involved. We need prayers as we're beginning to spend all these months preparing for that in the spring of 2015. And you can get involved by going to the AmazingLoveEvent.com, and you can register and plug in there, or you can text the letters ALE, Amazing Love Event, to the number 71441 if you want to just follow the event. And it has questions. You can check if you want to give your testimony. We'd love to have, you know, your testimony. If you have a testimony of Jesus transforming your life, if you're called to be on intercession, we would love to have you as an intercessor. If you would check that off when you register or tell your friends. And if you're a worshiper, we're looking for worshipers who want to come be a part of that worship. So that's going to be a dramatic day of lifting up the name of Jesus. And there won't be any debate of Scripture, which is so wonderful to me. We're not going to debate whether we think Romans 1 says this or that. We're not going to debate whether you're going to hell if you're homosexual. All we're saying is once we were not walking in God's will for our sexuality, now we are. Once we were homosexual, now we are holiness walking with God. We may not have families right now. We may be in the midst of transformation, but God has transformed our lives and is transforming it. And once we were blind, now we see. You know, there's no argument, and the church needs to hear that. And people who are bound need to hear it so that they can be free if they want to. And it's a wonderful event. We're so excited about having that next year. So plug into the website. And also on HisWonderfulWorks.com, you can find all of that information.
Well, and your website's very, it's just packed with resources, with articles you can read, with scripture, and with wisdom. If you are caught up in the debate and wanting more information, that is available on Dee's website, too. And if you missed it, just go to ours at cradlemyheart.org, and we've got it all linked for you there. Dee, we have just about under 2 minutes remaining, but I want to give you the opportunity to close us in prayer, please.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Father God in heaven, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for sending Jesus that we can be forgiven of all of the shame and pain. Thank you for sending Jesus that we can be reconciled to you. And I thank you most of all, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to be present with us, to lead us, to convict us, to guide us and comfort us. And I just pray right now for every listener hearing here that they would be able to receive your truth, Lord, your love and your compassion without condemnation. The love and compassion that you call us to come and be reconciled to you regardless of what we walked in. For anyone with past sexual abuse or abortion, the pain and shame, Lord, I thank you for going right now by your Spirit and comforting. For those bound by homosexuality with no hope to get out or always thought that it would never change, Father, I thank you that by your Spirit you would begin to bring hope and transformation and change right here and right now by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, you've given us authority over all of the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And so I take authority right now in the name of Jesus over the power of the enemy that would speak lies that you cannot be set free, that would speak lies that there's no freedom, that there's no hope. And Lord, I thank you that the flood of your Spirit goes to every hearer today and brings hope within their self, within their spirit, within their innermost being, that they would be resurrected into new life. And I just thank you, Lord, for causing us to be born again and filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dee Barnes, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Thanks for opening your heart tonight.
Thank you, Kim.
If you want to know more about Dee's ministry and also find out about upcoming events and resources on ours, just go to cradlemyheart.org and be sure and join us next week. Remember, Jesus loves you and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on MyFaithRadio.com.